Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 8th episode of Cover Your Six. I'm Ron Easton. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way first, shall we? There has been a lot of time and effort put into the webpage, which you go to Cover Your Six, spell it out, sixpodcast.com. You will find the episodes that have been posted by Philip and Donna. Philip is my producer. Donna is my publicist. These are some hardworking people to make sure that this goes without a hitch. So stop by, take a look at the interviews that have gone by. Last week, I had Officer Harry Dunn and Officer Aquilino Gunnell, the Capitol police officers who were present during the J6 insurrection. This week, I've got my friend Dr. Warren Harper coming back, because when things, as I have said before, start to not make sense to me, Dr. Harper is an individual who can put a label and a tag on pretty much everything and make it make sense. What I want to talk to you about, because I'm trying my hardest here to just hold my shit right now, to be real honest with you, because this past week, the actions that this administration have taken are an abomination. I want to start with the first one, where they talk about double tapping. Number one, double tapping is meant to express when you're holding a handgun and you decide to fire more than one round at an individual. That's a double tap. What they did with these two men standing on the bow of an overturned boat was murder. Okay? Let me say that again. It was murder. It is against the law. It was an illegal order that was given and received. Now, Tom Cotton, the little pencil neck senator from Arkansas, who has been in the military, so he knows better. He stood up and said that this was a justified action. Okay? That they were so busy trying to turn the boat over that had just been blown out of the water with three engines, each of those engines weighing at least 400 to 500 pounds. So they're on the bottom of the ocean already. And they're standing there waving their shirt as though they were sunbathing. No, they were trying to get your attention so that 45 minutes later, you wouldn't kill them. All right? Then let's talk about the president sitting, the president of the United States, the most powerful man in this country, sits in his cabinet meeting and labels an entire race or segment or diaspora of people garbage. Garbage. I live in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I know the streets of Minneapolis and St. Paul. I worked for the Minnesota Department of Health for 22 years, so I know this city well. There are anywhere between 80 and 100,000 Somalis living in the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul. They do have a problem with young Somali teenagers going around busting windows and stealing from cars, but there aren't gangs that are running the street. Yes, they had a group of, I think it was 59 people that were prosecuted and jailed for stealing millions of dollars. Millions of dollars from funds that were supposed to feed children. They're paying the price for that. Now, that's 79 or 59 people out of 80,000. You just had a city councilman here, last name Weinstein. He stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from a fund that was supposed to go to like a call me to find out who killed a child. And now the president wants to end birthright citizenship. That's another way for them to basically terrorize more people of color. They were born in this country. They are United States citizens. United States citizens are being thrown to the ground and treated like garbage, all the while screaming, I'm a U.S. citizen. Is this truly the way you want to live in this country? Now, here's the one that is probably the most spiteful of all. This just happened day before yesterday. The president decides to with his anti-DEI campaign. Go to the National Parks Admissions and on Martin Luther King Day and Juneteenth, admission to the park is free, all right? But I can guarantee you there are massive amounts of Black people sitting around saying, yeah, let's all pack up our shit and go to the national park. So that was just a spiteful move. That was to stand up and piss in your face and say, you don't matter to me. That's what that was. I'm saying this, and I've said it before, and I am saying it again. What you are seeing now is a whitewashing of America by nothing more than the Ku Klux Klan in ties. That's what MAGA is. If you accept what's going on in America today, then you are complicit. Look it up if you don't know what I'm saying. You accept this. That means you are part of this. Is this truly what you want? Where little brown babies are separated from their parents and they don't know. Over 600 children have been separated from their parents now. Where are they? There were 2,000 the last time. Where are they? Where are those children? If you got a subpoena, you would run that back through your own ass, making sure that you followed that subpoena. But why is it that Jim Jordan got a subpoena over 3 years ago and he still hasn't answered it? Why is it that the federal government can subpoena the Epstein records and you still haven't seen them? And this is what this is all about. Make no mistake about this. The Epstein files is what this is about. Pictures were released of Epstein Island. What a creepy place to go. What a creepy place to go. And now that you know the history, but throw on that the latest little atrocity, the Dells. Yeah, that's right, Dell Computer. They show up in the White House and they're donating billions of dollars. And what they're going to do is start a little fund for any baby that's born after a certain date, but only if that baby is within the requirements of the funding requirements or in a certain zip code. I can guarantee you there won't be many brown babies that'll be getting scholarships. But the kicker, probably the dumbest prick on the face of this earth, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of Human Services, Health and Human Services, did away with a policy that has been in place for over 30 years to inject babies with a hepatitis vaccine at the time of their birth. This is going to cost babies their lives and their health. So they're not attacking you. They're attacking your children and your children's children. So seriously, are you going to sit and remain silent? You can't. You can't afford to. Not anymore. And again, if you accept this, if you like what's going on, then you're complicit in war crimes. Up next, we got Dr. Warren Harper. I've said this before, there's nobody that I respect more than Dr. Harper, and he's going to put the right words where they belong. Stick around, I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Cover Your Six. I'm Ron Easton, and as I have mentioned before, in a world of crazies, when things just make no sense to me, and it starts to disrupt my lifestyle, the person that I depend upon most is Dr. Warren Harper, noted psychologist out of the state of Tennessee, and I'm proud to say a friend. Dr. Harper, how are you, sir?
Ron, I'm doing great, and I'm so glad to be on the program again this evening.
You had a specific topic that you wanted to speak about, and I was so happy when you did. Explain mental illness associated with the Trump derangement syndrome. Ho ho.
You know, as a mental health professional for over 50 years now, it really appalls me the lack of attention this particular phenomenon had, not only in Tennessee, because I didn't hear much about it, but I know Minnesota, it came up in a bill, and I'll talk about that briefly. The fact that the mental health professionals stood by and allowed this to kind of grow to a certain extent before oftentimes it was shut down. The fact that they would come after people trying to make a diagnosis out of a political situation that they're in and use that diagnosis to potentially place people in psychiatric hospitals, force them to take medications and things like that. It could have come to that. And it still may come to that because, as I'll point out, this has happened before. And, you know, for some reason, again, the mental health profession should have jumped on this immediately and basically made sure that the politicians did not have their way, which they had their way to a certain extent. Now, I think it's important to understand that this what we're talking about here is what we refer to as the Trump derangement syndrome. Now, you would think about that. If you're deranged, you're out of touch with reality. You don't control your emotions. You don't control your behavior. You have episodes of rage and what have you. And they're saying that there were some people that manifested Trump derangement syndrome, and it was the people who, like me and you, were people who were free-thinking, loving, caring, humanistic people. But for some reason, we've lost our mind. And that the people who are the Trumpists and the Trumpers, they're the ones who are rational and they're the ones who are thinking clear and they're the ones who have emotional composure. But for some reason, the ability of Trump has basically invaded our psyche and causes us to be unstable. Now, what I think is interesting, and let me read just a little bit of this.
Please.
There is a bill, H.R. 3432, which was introduced by the Republican Representative Warren Davidson of Ohio, which would direct the National Institutes of Health to study. They want to study this, something that didn't exist, but to study, quote, Trump derangement syndrome, which they say is a toxic state of mind of those who are exhibiting signs of this disorder. Davidson further indicated that this study was justified due to the fact that Trump derangement syndrome has divided families, the country, and led to nationwide violence, including two assassination attempts on Trump. Now, the bill defines Trump derangement syndrome as a behavioral or psychological phenomena characterized by intense emotional or cognitive reactions to Donald Trump, his actions, and his public presence. Other definitions are: Trump derangement syndrome is a derogatory term used to describe a form of toxic criticism, which is what it is, and negative reaction to the President Trump's statements and political actions. And one simple definition is that it is hatred of Trump so intense that it impairs people's judgment. Now, it's interesting, whereas Trump's behavior is so disturbing to us where we become psychotic. That's what he's saying. That we become psychotic, all right, versus we become aware of the fact that he's trying to run game on us and trying to make us think that normal is not normal anymore and that his and their normal is what is actually normal. Now, what concerns me quite a bit is that in the state of Minnesota, you had a bill put forth by state senators to classify Trump derangement syndrome, quote, as a mental illness and incorporate it into the state's legal definition. It didn't work, but they were going that far as to basically politicians now, not medical experts. The politicians wanted to push a diagnosis of Trump derangement syndrome into the nomenclature of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association. They thought they had that much firepower to do that without any kind of investigation of what was going on. Now, Minnesota claimed that the symptoms of this are hysteria and the inability to distinguish between legitimate policy differences and signs of psychic pathology in President Trump. It's also paranoia, also intense verbal hostility towards Trump, also aggression and violence and towards Trump and his supporters, as if we were the ones that were attacking them on January 6th. Derangement is defined as severe mental disturbance or a breakdown in logical functioning, social maladjustment, and a breakdown in emotional regulation and mental functioning. Now, they're saying that we have these symptoms, and therefore, we must have rigorous study to understand what this disease is all about and what develop treatment for it. Now, number one, it doesn't exist. So you're trying to get your legislature and the politicians in general, Republicans, politicians in general, to basically devise this lie about us being mentally ill because we protest, which is our right, and because we get loud and because we get emotional about it, that there's something psychological wrong with us to the point, whereas we may need to be hospitalized and forced to take medication, which is insane. Now, furthermore, when you look across the board in terms of Trump derangement syndrome, there are other symptoms: irrational opposition to political figure, a loss of sanity or inability to think rationally, emotional and cognitive disruption, again, paranoia, overwhelming uncontrollable panic and fear or excitement leading to irrational behavior, and verbal hostility towards President Donald Trump. Anyone that would not be hostile, suspicious of his motives, and questioning the reality of anyone that's behind him would be insane. And obviously what they're trying to do is twist us around to make us think that something's wrong with us for being normal, and therefore we need some kind of counseling. Now, this isn't the first time this is done. It was also done when they had Obama derangement syndrome. Didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know about that. It was done before then. In the 1970s and 1960s during the Civil Rights Movement, there were psychiatrists who were focusing on Black males, and they came up with a diagnosis called protest psychosis. The fact that they were protesting meant that they were schizophrenic. Check it out. Check Google, check anywhere you like to check. The bottom line is...
Listen, I you are one source that I don't question, because I know you do your homework.
And believe me, I wasn't stopping because you were laughing. I was stopping to give you a chance to laugh, because when I first saw that and saw that back in the 60s, I would have been put in a straitjacket because I was protesting along with other civil rights leaders or representatives in the streets of Chicago. So this has been going on for a long time in terms of trying to label Black people or people in general who protest against their government as being mentally ill. Now, we also saw this when it came to the 19th century with Dr. Cartwright, when he basically said that Black people that escaped from the plantation had drapetomania or rascality of the nerves, okay? And the treatment was beat the hell out of them.
Yes.
So we find ourselves again in the midst of basically sociopathic people who think that they can outsmart all the rest of us out here who have no intention of giving in to Trump derangement syndrome. As a matter of fact, people who have Trump derangement syndrome are Trump's believers. They're the ones who have conspiracy theories. They're the ones with paranoia. They're the ones who have afraid reality testing. They're the ones who are vicious and violent, January 6th. So that's my spiel about this. And again, I'm more concerned about the fact that mental health professionals should have jumped on this immediately and basically shot this down as another one of Trump's idiotic schemes to basically cover his six behind all the craziness that he's doing.
Doc, let me ask you this, I don't know any other way, Jen, than just what is it about people of color that scares them so much?
Well, you know, I think that, I mean, Dr. Frances Press Welsing, who used to be she's an ancestor now, and we used to work at Howard University, and she got whiteballed from Howard University because she came up with the theory and basically said that white people are afraid of being genetically annihilated and that Black men have the power to do that because we have the dominant gene carrier. So therefore, I think that still when you hear the white nationalists, the Christian right nationalists talking now, they're saying some of the same things. They're saying that they're terrified of extinction, and that white people need to have power. They need to basically have more children. They need to repopulate the United States. And they need to basically make sure that everyone is Christian, which means you can exclude the Muslims and anyone else that basically is not Christian. And even if you do, if you are a Christian, if you are a black Christian, you cannot be on the same status or level as the white Christian nationalists. That's part of their thinking. And they don't mind saying that. So again, we have this idea that they're going to be eliminated in some way. Well, they would not be eliminated if they choose to live peacefully with everyone else. We have no intention.
Part of that falls right in line with this latest Pell or Dell family coming up with this fund that's supposed to be given to a child born after a certain date, but only at a certain economic status or in a certain zip code. And I feel that that kind of falls right in with his research to try and get away or do away with birthright citizenship. So people of color are being labeled.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Also, months ago, he was talking about paying people, women, to have children. Okay. And he really wasn't talking to black women. He was talking to white women, totally, to have children. And he would compensate them in any way that he can. Now, when I heard about the $1,000, I was thinking that, okay, $1,000 to every child born over a period of 18 years, that will be huge money. Who's to say that they will get that money 18 years down the road?
Exactly.
They won't get a dime.
Exactly.
The money will be taken over by whoever's in power at that point.
Exactly. This week alone has been, after labeling the entire Somali community as garbage, mm-hmm. And telling the outright lies about Somali gangs running the streets of Minneapolis, I have gone out looking for ICE. And what they do is their little pre-dawn raids, and they're raiding single-family homes and pulling people off of off-ramps and stuff like that. So they don't give people a chance to protest against their actions. The whole community, both communities, Latino and Somali, are scared to death.
Of course.
So what do you do?
Well, you know, some communities, particularly in Chicago, they're trying their best to educate those persons that feel so fearful so that they can either know their rights, although, as you and I know, you can know your rights but still be dragged out of your house.
Exactly.
Kicking and screaming. But at least they're trying to educate the population that has been targeted for this kind of behavior. You can also get out there and start supporting the politicians who are basically trying to stop ICE from coming into our community and literally gangstering the community and kind of grabbing people off the street, irregardless of whether you are a citizen or not. We have to have that kind of unity. And as I've said before, unity in the community gives us an opportunity for immunity. Immunity from what? From immunity from being strong-armed by these Nazi kind of Gestapo people running in here and harming our people the way that they're doing.
How do we as black men get the black community invested in this? Because they have been so disenfranchised when it comes to voting and rights and things that take place in our community. How do we get them to realize that not only are they being attacked, but their children's children are being mm-hmm. attacked?
Well, you know, Ron, I think the best example of doing that is what you're doing right now. I think black males are not receptive to white males, white females, or black females when they talk about standing up for ourselves and coming out with both fists and our chests out. I think when we have programs like this where black men are talking to each other and basically hopefully laying out what the plan of attack is against us, as well as the plan of attack to basically keep us safe, I think it gives some black men, or hopefully it gives more black men, hope that they need to step out and stick out their chest and come out fighting with both hands as well.
I thank you for that, because I hope that a lot of people will heed your words and listen, because it's going to take not just one community, it's going to take this country as a community to go against what's going on. You and I have both seen this coming from Memphis. We have seen the days of segregation. We have seen the days of white only and colored only fountains. We've seen the days of having to ride at the back of the bus in neighborhoods being segregated. We don't want to go back to that.
No, but we will. But we will if we don't put a stop to it. You know,
exactly.
Every day behind Trump and Trumpism, you know, we're constantly being bombarded with some other new kind of trauma. Okay, there's a condition called weathering, like water running over a rock over a period of hundreds of years. That rock is going to wear away. Black researchers have found that our psychological health has a lot to do with the weathering aspect of how stress and racism is washing over us all the time, but also damaging us all the time. We have the weathering effect of racism. So we have to get as strong as we possibly can get. And the only way we're going to get strong is to start standing up and fighting those things which are against us.
There is a phenomenon that I've noticed on social media. Whenever there is a picture posted of Michelle Obama, there are those who choose to denigrate and disrespect her by calling her Michael. What the hell's with that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not aware of that, but I believe it to be true. She's a very powerful woman, and she has a lot of power with Black women in particular, but also white women will listen to her as well. So what does the devil do? What do Trump and Trumpites do when there's someone that might be a problem to them? Then they basically start targeting that particular person or that group of people to basically denigrate and shoot down any way that she can. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have some people that just don't like women, but also we have some people that are being paid and bought and sold to have a campaign against Michelle Obama so that she will never think about running for any office, because at this point, anyone she runs for, she has a good possibility of winning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One final thing here, and I've mentioned this before, you are a Navy veteran.
Yes.
And you are a Navy veteran with honors and pride. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen the incident of the, what I am labeling it, war crimes in the waters off of Venezuela. How do you feel about it? If you would like to say, or if you don't, then don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm trying to think. I spoke a little bit about that, I believe, this past week or a week or so ago. I think it is a war crime. Clearly, it's a war crime. I think that the Secretary of Defense, which he is not the Secretary of War, because it takes Congress to make that determination. It is still the Secretary of Defense. See, again, they twist everything. And see, once they twist it, they think that you're going to just automatically jump and obey in advance.
Exactly.
The Secretary of Defense is trying to be a tough guy, and he's a punk. He's just a punk. You know, he's a punk that can stick out his chest and act tough all the time. And the idea of shooting missiles into speedboats or even fishing boats is insane to begin with. If we got a drug problem, let's deal with it here. And not by selling the crack dealer on the corner. What about the white guys who are bringing it into the country to begin with? You know, we can stop this, or we have to stop it on both ends. It's not going to stop behind blowing up fishing boats and speed boats that some may carry some drugs. But, you know, how many fishing? I was reading an article today that it is over 1,000 miles between Venezuela and here by boat. There is no boat that can do that without having to stop numerous times to refill for gasoline and what have you. So evidently those boats that aren't coming to here, they're going somewhere else. And some of them are fishing boats to begin with. And so if that's the case, maybe we need to pay the authorities in those other countries that the boats are going to intervene and stop the drug from coming into their country. We stop it from coming in over here. We deal with some of the people who are manufacturing it and growing it over in the country of origin. And then we have a plan in place. But blowing up everything is just him trying to show everybody that he's got some testicles and they're not really there.
Amen. Last question, Doc. We're coming into the holiday season, and I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those folks that I'm not real wild about it. And I've got my reasons, but there are a lot of folks who suffer from seasonal affective disorder this time of year, especially. Any words of wisdom or anything that they might do to kind of stave off that those feelings?
Well, you know, my first encounter with seasonal affective disorder was when I was stationed in Iceland, where we have 3 months out of a year where it's totally dark. And the rest of the year, it's total light. And so the bottom line is that, yes, people became more depressed during that particular time. But in Iceland, on base at least, you know, we were constantly moving. We were at the gymnasium. We had movies every night. Although it was dark in the morning and dark in the evening, we still went to our jobs. You know, we had blackout curtains and what have you. We don't have that here outside the military. So it's going to be up to us to basically become aware of seasonal affective disorder, which is a psychological condition associated with darkness or the colder season of the year, and start to develop other strategies like having more light in the room. Okay, because one of the treatments for seasonal affective disorder, not medication, don't get away from that. It was to be in a room what has a lot of light in it, because I can't get into all the details, but bottom line is that the light tends to go into the eyes and therefore it tends to energize the brain and what have you, an easy way of saying that. But we have to basically stay active during that time as well, because our bodies need to not slow down because it's night all the time. We have to maintain that same pattern of behavior where you get up in the morning and if you're into exercise, I mean, you go jogging or you do whatever you have to do. And you have breakfast at a particular time, lunch at a particular time, come home and have dinner, then go to the gym or go see a movie or go jog, go walk or whatever. Keep your body active and moving so that it doesn't matter what the time or day is. It basically is the fact that your body is regulated to what it needs to do to stay healthy.
Dr. Warren Harper, once again, I am in your debt. I am totally in awe of you. I'm not gonna lie, man, I'm a fan. Because you approach things with such a common sense direction that it couldn't help but make sense. And you don't spend a lot of time sugarcoating. You're not like any other psychologist I've ever seen. You are the real deal, my friend.
Well, you know, and I think that if I were sitting in front of a board of psychologists, they would basically say I'm too matter of fact, or I'm too upfront about things, or I'm not being professional. You know, I think that there is a distinct difference between white and black psychology. I think that the whole idea of our training, which was to be stoic and to basically not have any emotion, is so incomprehensible to the black spirit. We have to basically know what we're talking about. Black folks didn't come to me to be in therapy for 8 months or 2 years. They came to get some answers.
Amen.
And basically, that's what black people need. They need answers and they need strategies to overcome some of the social conditions that have been put on us by white supremacy and oppression and what have you. And if you give them that, then that's all they need to pick it up and move forward.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Harper, thank you so much, brother.
Anytime.
You will be back soon. You already know that. you and I are inextricably linked together forever and ever, amen. I appreciate you, Doc.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, sir. Roger that. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, my Ring of Honor recipient is the person who is most responsible for me being here. This is one of the most giving, one of the most loving individuals that I have ever experienced in my life. This is the individual that taught me that when you walk in a room, you walk in like you own that room. You throw your shoulders back, you keep your head up, and you walk in with a sense of pride. This week, my recipient in my Ring of Honor is my grandmother, Pearl M. Evans, or better known as my dear. Was a tolerant woman, but she played no games. She was not about a whole lot of foolishness. She was a member of the NAACP in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. She was a rose gardener. She was a perfectionist when it came to her appearance and her yard. She brought up two grandsons, myself and my brother, for whatever the reasons were that well, they say the reasons were was because my mom was deaf and that it would have taken us longer to speak. But she and my grandfather were the most loving individual that I have ever seen in my life. I lost her December 12th of 1979, and my life has not been the same since, but I am her legacy. Pearl